A reading from the book of Judges. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O champion." Gideon said to him, "My Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are his wondrous deeds of which our fathers told us when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' For now the Lord has abandoned us and has delivered us into the power of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and save Israel from the power of Midian. It is I who send you." But Gideon answered him, "Please, my Lord, how can I save Israel? My family is the lowliest in Manasseh, and I am the most insignificant in my father's house." "It shall be with you," the Lord said to him, "and you will cut down Midian to the last man." Gideon answered him, "If I find favor with you, give me a sign that you are speaking with me. Do not depart from here, I pray you, until I come back to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." He answered, "I will await your return." So Gideon went off and prepared a kid and a measure of flour in the form of unleavened cakes. Putting the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out to him under the terebinth and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and unleavened cakes and lay them on this rock. Then pour out the broth." When he had done so, the angel of the Lord stretched out the tip of his staff he held and touched the meat and unleavened cakes. Thereupon, a fire came up from the rock that consumed the meat and unleavened cakes. The angel of the Lord disappeared from sight. Gideon, now aware that it had been the angel of the Lord, said, "Alas, Lord God, that I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord answered him, "Be calm, do not fear. You shall not die." So Gideon built there an altar to the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom. The word of the Lord. The Lord speaks of peace to his people.
The Lord speaks of peace to his people.
I will hear what God proclaims, the Lord, for he proclaims peace to his people and to his faithful ones and to those who put in him their hope. The Lord speaks of peace to his people. Kindness and truth shall meet. Justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven.
The Lord speaks of peace to his people.
The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him, and salvation along the way of his steps.
The Lord speaks of peace to his people.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible. Then Peter said to him in reply, We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us? Jesus said to them, Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first.
Verbum Domini.
We hear about the calling of Gideon in our first reading today from the book of Judges. Due to Israel's infidelity in doing what was evil in the sight of God, the Lord delivered Israel into the hand of the Midianites. And the Midianites would cause great havoc, especially destroying the produce of the land, leaving no sustenance or nourishment for the people. This trial greatly humbled Israel, and we see this cycle over and over again in the Old Testament. People sin. The Lord sends some trial or suffering, then they repent, they wake up, and they call upon God to help them. And so this leads to God calling and raising up Gideon. And Gideon is a very good example of the point that St. Paul was making in his first letter to the Corinthians, when he said, God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Gideon was visited by an angel of the Lord, as we heard today, and was told to go and save Israel from the power of the Midianites. Gideon, however, responds that his family is the lowliest in Manasseh, and that he himself is the most insignificant in his own family. So we have seen reluctance before in the gospel and throughout Scripture, right? And there are many parallels, particularly between Moses and Gideon. Both Moses and Gideon were called through the message of an angel. They were both called to deliver Israel from their enemy. They both were reluctant to accept the mission God had given them and were quick to give excuses why they were not worthy or fit instruments. They both were given assurance that God would be with them, and both of their callings were confirmed by miraculous signs. But we know that Gideon ultimately did respond to God's call, his mission, to lead an army to deliver Israel from their oppressor, from their enemy. And God would be greatly glorified through this, as he used this humble instrument. And although Gideon, we know, was able to gather 32,000 soldiers for battle, the Midianite army consisted of 135,000. So already that's a major disadvantage. 32,000 versus 135,000. But to give God even more glory, we know from reading the book of Judges that God dwindled down Israel's army to just 300. So now you have 300 soldiers versus 135,000. So there's no doubt that God is involved in this. And Gideon was called to lead a surprise attack, and the enemy eventually was routed. So again, we know that with God, nothing is impossible. And this clearly shows, again, that the strength of Gideon and his army was found in the Lord who fights their battles. So So we can recall what Moses told the Israelites before they crossed the Red Sea. Remember, as the Egyptians were fast on their tracks, then Moses told the people, "The Lord will fight for you." And that's what we see with Gideon and his army. So we heard God tell Gideon today through the angel, "The Lord is with you, O champion, and go with the strength you have and save Israel from the power of Midian. It is I who send you." So we can also be encouraged not only by the fact that with God nothing is impossible, but also the example of this army from their perspective, the soldiers that Gideon, that he gathered together, that they had confidence in God, because you can imagine they were overwhelmed, 300 of them versus 135,000, and yet they did trust in the Lord. They could have easily become disheartened. We can take courage from this and recall as well the confidence that St. Paul had in Christ, as he would say, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." All things. And in the gospel today, our Lord talks about the danger of riches. So this is in light of yesterday's gospel, when we heard the rich young man go away sad because he was not willing to practice detachment from his great wealth and possessions. The Lord was inviting him to be detached, to follow him wholeheartedly. And he was so attached that he couldn't follow the Lord. So he went away sad. And there is a danger that our Lord warns about with riches, and that is losing our dependence upon God, our trust in God. We can develop a false sense of security and trust in wealth and in our possessions rather than in the Lord. And St. Jerome says that once riches are gained, they are hard to be despised. Right? We have this sense, due to the effects of original sin, to cling on to things. We don't want to let go. St. John Chrysostom would add that the Lord was not criticizing money itself, but rather he was criticizing the wills of those who were taken captive by it. Right? They are taken captive by wealth and riches and the desire for riches. And we know that a very important part of growing in the spiritual life is to make room in our hearts for God and for God's grace, the many graces that he wants to give us. And it's too easy for us to fill up those spaces within our souls, within our life, with the riches, with the good things that are found in this world, everything that the world has to offer. And we can end up having no room for God in our hearts, just as the Holy Family found no room in the inn. God can find no room in our hearts if we fill up our hearts, our souls, with everything in this life. Then the Lord gives an image of a camel trying to fit through the eye of a needle. And as that is, very simply put, as that is not naturally possible, it is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle. Likewise, it is impossible for one to enter heaven based on our own efforts. We cannot get ourselves to heaven. We need God's grace. We need his strength. It is a gift, and we have to cooperate with that. And so this caused the apostles to be greatly astonished, as we heard in the gospel today, and they ask, "Who then can be saved?" And St. Augustine helps us by commenting that the apostles wonder how anyone could be saved, not because all were rich, but because the poor were also included, who had their hearts and affections fixed on riches. So this can affect all of us, not just if we happen to have a lot of wealth or riches. All of us can have the desire for riches, for wealth, right? To find our security and trust in things, the things that the world says, these will give you security, these will give you comfort. The craving for riches and a worldly sense of comfort. But Christ encourages the disciples and each of us by teaching that while we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven on our own, God can enable us to enter into eternal life, again, by his grace, for all things are possible with him. And again, as St. John Chrysostom points out, our Lord didn't say this so that we could relax, right? For God, all things are possible. You can see that happening. Yeah, for God, all things are possible. So I can get to heaven. It's not going to be easy. Rather, St. John Chrysostom says, you could understand the importance of calling upon God to give you help in this rigorous contest, and that you might more readily approach his grace. That's why the Lord said this, not that we might relax, but that we might be encouraged to call upon him, to trust in him, to not hesitate to call upon him. So just as the impossible was made possible in the case of Gideon and his army of 300 soldiers defeating 135,000, so it's possible for us to be saved by cooperating with God's grace. And when we feel overwhelmed in a seemingly hopeless situation, we remember the true statement that all things are possible with God.